Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.co.uk. This is Internet Marketing. Before we start today, a bit of shameless self-promotion. Site Visibility has recently published the Ultimate Content Promotion Guide. It's their most comprehensive guide to date, and in it they break down all the content promotional tactics, tricks and tools you'll ever need to help you achieve content marketing success. You can download the guide plus a handy printable content promotion checklist for free by going to bit.ly/ultimate-content. I won't do the joke about hyphen means dash because I think you've heard that too many times. Ultimate dash or hyphen content. Now today I'm joined by Patrick McKenna, founder and CEO at Strike Social. Patrick, how are you?
I'm very good. Thanks, Andy.
Well, thanks for coming on the show. Where are you geographically located?
I'm physically in Reno right now, Reno, Nevada. Our corporate headquarters in the U.S. is in Chicago.
Okay, that's good. So you're not freezing cold then. I know Chicago is very cold at the moment.
I missed the polar vortex for a weekend ski trip. So I got out of there somehow.
And I'm glad you did. Now, I want to talk about a little bit about Strike Social. Because I tell you what, start off by telling us, and I'll get to tell us about you in a minute, but tell us a little bit about Strike Social, what you do.
Yeah, so we're a platform company. We created machine learning. I think that's what a lot of people are interested in to help companies optimize their social media campaigns. The flagship product of ours and the platform we've been working in the longest is YouTube. So those TrueView skippable ads that you see, or you know the bumper ads that you see on YouTube and the non-skippable. So that platform will engage DV360 and help you plan using artificial intelligence and help you optimize using machine learning and artificial intelligence. And then, of course, reporting is just sort of a visualization piece of it.
Now, your company grew really fast, didn't it? Because you started it in 2013.
We did.
And it was it ranked at number 17 of the fastest growing private companies in the US?
17? Fastest growing, yeah. According to Inc. magazine in 2017, we were the 17th fastest growing company in you know, I don't know, the US for sure, but probably pretty high up there in the world at the time.
And is it possible for you to tell us in 3 minutes how you were able to grow the company as fast as you did?
You know, I think we just hit the market at the right time. You know, transparency was always sort of an issue, but it wasn't an issue that was really brought, you know, to the front of the market until after we had started. I think it helped that we were on the front end of that trend. And what I mean by that is the competitors that were well-funded in the market ahead of us. And some of these competitors raised $60 million. Another one raised almost $30 million. And we bootstrapped. And so, you know, every time we'd see these guys pull down these big raises, we'd sort of beat our heads on the table and wonder how we were going to compete. But we went to the market with this transparent, you know, pricing model. And the idea was that if I can't, you know, allow you to see what it is that we're doing in your AdWords account or DV360 account, which is, you know, what was DBM for Google, then I don't have a business, right? If I can't be transparent about what I'm doing, then you could theoretically just do it yourself. And so that really changed the game for us. And it really sort of helped us to expand with just client growth.
Yeah.
So that was the big key for us. And then the transparent piece hit the market really hard in say 2015, and we were just kind of already sitting there.
And I'm just wondering, the machine learning bit, was that something that was in your business from day one, or did that sort of evolve over time?
Yeah, no, we were a managed service company. So we have locations in Chicago. We have one in Poland and one in Manila. And we sort of had this follow the sun approach with labor. And the way that we would break out our campaigns was this, you know, really sophisticated multivariate testing strategy that, you know, a normal buyer would have a hard time managing if they didn't have the support of a 24/7 team. And so we built initially just software to help those teams sort of keep track of where they were, keep track of pacing. It helped everybody stay on the same page. So if somebody made a change on a campaign in Poland in the morning and in the US, you would be able to see it in our visualization, let's call it, platform.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to dig through AdWords to go find that. So that was really helpful. And that's why we weren't afraid to be transparent. It was a lot of labor. And then as we, you know, gathered more and more data, you can't really create machine learning or really use data science in any sort of successful way without having tons of data. So we didn't get started on the machine learning piece until about mid 2015. And it took us, well, I mean, we're still working on it, but it took us until all the way till about the mid 2017 to launch this thing.
Yeah.
In market. Yeah. It's very challenging.
You mentioned the multivariate testing. Now you wrote a blog post, didn't you? I think it's how artificial intelligence is changing the game for digital advertisers. And you mentioned multivariate testing in that. Just briefly tell us how AI or machine learning, I always think those are interchangeable. Perhaps I'm wrong. You can correct me if I'm wrong. How machine learning can help with multivariate testing?
Yeah. So on the multivariate testing side, it's really important in going back to the data to win especially in the Google auction. You have to break things out in a very granular way, and what that means is you've got more campaigns to run under a single request, right? So let's just say I have $100,000 budget and I'm trying to hit males and females 18 to 54 years old. And then I've got my interests, my topics, my affinities, my keywords, and then you have other things like mobile, desktop, top, tablet. Well, what ends up happening if you're multivariate testing is you want to take every single age group, males, females, and unknowns, in mobile, tablet, desktop, and the strategy, interest, keyword, topic. You got to break every single one of those out. Otherwise, the data that you get back out of that platform isn't going to tell you where you were achieving the best results with your strategies. So you have to start there, and then you can take that data in if it's clean. And the reason I say clean is all of that stuff needs to be properly named so that you can start building artificial intelligence and machine learning to achieve what you're trying to achieve. So what we do is we took all the plans we ever built for all the global campaigns that we ever ran, and we built artificial intelligence and machine learning around those. And then we built all of these strategies that would come out of that plan, and we put those into DV360. And then we call DV360 every 2 hours and we go, okay, how are we doing, Google? And that that data that comes back, we're going to go in and we're going to change and learn how this product is playing out to these different age groups and demographics and interests and all the different types of targeting. And we're going to put another request back in and say, okay, we like that, some of this stuff. We don't like other stuff. And we want to try these things too. So that's really how you do it. And that's how you do it at scale. So to give you an idea, from a managed service perspective, maybe we could manage, you know, 40 to 100 lines on a campaign. And we would do that, you know, on all of them. Now we can manage like 6,000 on a single campaign. Yeah. So it's just, you know, humanly impossible to do. And each time the machine, you know, puts those strategies and calls and looks, it learns and it teaches itself, hey, this isn't going to work with this brand. And we need to stay in here for this brand to hit their targets.
That's pretty impressive. It's a bit like, a bulldozer versus a team of guy with spades.
Yeah, you know, in you hit it right on the head. It's a computer, right? And so you got a human putting inputs into a computer, and now we have a computer talking to a computer. The analogy I like to use is I have Alexa and I have Google Home. Yeah. And I'm not very good at talking to either one of them. And they're both different. Yeah. They're both very different. Yeah. So you'd think you'd learn off of one and be able to do the other one. And now you start to think about that in terms of social platforms. Every single one of these platforms is different. And you got to learn how to talk to them so that you can win in the auction. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. I find Alexa can be quite stroppy at times, actually.
Now you're going to have to help me with strappy.
Oh, stroppy. It's an English term meaning that she can get a bit annoyed and aggy. Oh, sorry. Aggy is another English term meaning sort of annoyed.
Thank you. I love the English. You know what? To be honest with you, I ask her what time it is. That's about it.
Does she retort with, this isn't about me, it's about you or something? She's done that to me a few times.
Right.
Now, you mentioned DV360 there. Just remind us what that is.
Yeah, DV3. So Google changes the names of their products quite a bit. They bought a company called DoubleClick Bid Manager. Mm. Oh, gosh. I think maybe back in 2006. It could be 2010. Don't quote me on that. But they just recently changed the name to DV360. And I think that the reason they did that is because they have some interesting 360 view modeling in there that will allow you to understand multi-touch attribution better. So multi-touch attribution is, I served a YouTube video ad, but this person watched it. I ran a display campaign in DV360 and they saw it there. And then I ran a search campaign and they clicked through and bought my product. And so you want to be able to give credit to that entire marketing strategy. And I think that's what drove the name from DBM, DoubleClick Bid Manager, to DV360. It just sounds like you get a bigger view. So.
Oh, that Google constantly changing its product names.
I know. It's challenging.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Right, Patrick, I'd like to get out our crystal ball and ask you, what trends do you see coming in the next couple of years across the major social platforms? Specifically, I'm kind of interested where machine learning, what you think machine learning is going to yield in the coming years.
Well, I mean, I talk to everyone about this. Machine learning and artificial intelligence is already being embedded in our daily lives, and I don't know how much people recognize that yet. I don't know if you've noticed, but on Gmail, Google Mail, yeah, like they're starting to write your entire sentence.
I have noticed. You. Yes, I have.
Yeah, that, and I love that. It's beautiful. That's artificial intelligence and machine learning. So it's happening right before our very eyes, and it may sound like, oh, gee, this is some sort of futuristic thing. It's not. It's here, and it's happening. And so the crystal ball part of this is, our lives are going to get more efficient. Mm. And we saw this with, you know, what we were doing. My big goal as a company was to remove repetitive tasks. And there's a lot of repetitive tasks in advertising. You've got to ask the machine all these questions. You've got to set the campaigns up and the budgets, and then you've got to watch them. Well, I can have a machine do that.
Yeah.
And you could literally, my idea was to have a media buyer running multi-million dollar campaigns from their phone. Like, yeah, that's going to happen, and it is happening. And so, you know, if there's a crystal ball in that part of the advertising space, I would say that. Now, what effect does that have in terms of how the agencies are currently set up today? Mm. Because there's a lot of human resources in the agencies. Right. There's a lot of human resources at my company and any company. You know, your human resource expense is 85 to 95% of your costs.
Yeah.
And so you, it's not about a limit. Our company hasn't contracted in terms of the number of people from building this thing because we're busier. Right.
Yeah.
And there are other things to do, and we're growing. So I'm not trying to get rid of bodies. I'm trying to get rid of repetitive tasks and make things go better for everybody in the company and for our customers.
Yeah. You know? I have actually read that regarding AI, artificial intelligence, and machine learning, some people are of the school of thought that it, rather than taking jobs, it will actually open up more jobs because the computer will do the donkey repetitive non-human work, and that you might then employ more people to actually analyze the data and do the human bit simply because you now can. I mean, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, think about, you know, we constantly have our heads up over here about, you know the next thing, right? Like, we're constantly looking, and you start to think about, you know, getting into other businesses, and then you start to go, geez, I'm going to need an app, and it's going to need to do the same things that, say, Uber does or whatever. And you think about all that code that's already been written so many times, not by Uber necessarily, but by all the other companies that have tried to compete with Uber. It all exists. We're just literally like recycling great work without having the ability to to go and just grab it and plug these things together like Legos. And that's where this is going to go, right? You, when they talk about machines writing its own code, all that's going to do is it's going to make us all way more efficient, and we're going to be able to accomplish things in business that don't require hundreds of millions of dollars to get done in, you know, 3 years of development, right? So I love it. I'm obviously, and we've embraced it, and we're going to keep going. There's so much more to do. And like I said, it is, you know, the genie's out of the bottle. It's happening.
Yeah. So going forward, what are some tips that you can tell people that will perhaps help them be more successful within their advertising, given what we've just been discussing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, back to keeping your head up, you know, there's a lot of really great players and platforms and technologies out there that will help you be more efficient for your customer. If you're a brand, I wouldn't be afraid to try to bring parts of media that are easy to do in-house. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't be afraid of that. And if you are doing it, the one common mistake I see people do most is on Facebook. What they'll do is they'll sit in their lookalike models way too much. They rely too much on that Facebook algorithm, and it's very good. But what happens is you have to be adding net new and new audiences and testing those audiences to grow your lookalike base. Because once you start spinning through all of your lookalikes, your CACs are going to go up, meaning your ROI is going to decrease and your cost of advertising is going to go up. And so what happens is people go, geez, this is really good. I'm getting my customers for, you know, X number of dollars, and I'm making a nice 50% profit here, or whatever it is. And they start to increase their spend, and all of a sudden their margin drops by 25%, and they get scared and they come back. And I guess what I'm saying is you can add new audiences to Facebook to try to get that trend line to keep from looking like a bell and keep it, you know, up and to the right. So, you know, that's the biggest one I see. The other one is, you know, you got to be looking at that 360 view, back to what Google's trying to say with that DV360 account.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people really heavying up in Facebook and getting away from search and YouTube and some of these other things. And if you're measuring things right, you need to have a multi-channel approach. You can't just rely on one platform. You'll live and die on that platform sooner or later.
Yeah.
So those are the big ones that I think are. And what do you think, Andy?
Well, I don't know. I have many thoughts on these things. Most of my thinking is done by my guests because I'm simply not clever enough to come up with my own individual. No, I'm very interested in AI. And it's interesting what you were saying about, I'm trying to find a word that sums it up, diversifying and keeping the various audiences sort of flowing. I think most of my interest is in that, because I'm a coder, I'm a software developer, and the reason I do software development is because I love building things that do stuff while you're asleep.
Yeah,
and that's where I get my kick. So it kind of goes in with what you were saying about, you know, automating the boring bits and leaving the humans to do the bits that only humans can do.
Right.
So I completely, you know, I probably think of, this is going to sound boring for our listeners, but I sound like Switzerland. I very much concur with what you just said, basically.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. How can our listeners find out more about you and Strike Social?
Yeah, we're strikesocial.com, and people can reach me on LinkedIn. I'm Patrick McKenna there, Patrick McKenna on Twitter. Just connect with me, and we have a really nice automated bot called it's a Drift bot, and you can just write whatever you want in there, and we have someone just sitting there taking in, you know, your requests. So easy peasy.
So it's a human, it's not Alexa.
It's a human, but there's artificial intelligence in there too. So it's nice.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. Just for our listeners, so it's Patrick. McKenna is spelled McKenna. In case anyone's a bit dyslexic like me and doesn't know how to spell. So thanks for listening, everyone. The show notes are in the usual place, sitevisibility.co.uk/IMpodcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review, because we like reviews, because it helps us to get out to more people. Questions and suggestions, email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can tweet @sitevisibility, if I can get that out. We have a site visibility group on LinkedIn. That's all from me, Andy. And it's all from Patrick.
Thank you. Goodbye, Andy.
Thanks for coming on, Patrick. And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.